You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of August 5th, 2020, and behold our razor sharp wits.
Back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorous conversation about video games. We're slicing our way into this episode.
Let me grab my whetstone.
Do you sharpen your kitchen knives? Have you done that?
So we've fallen into this habit of we have like the honing steel, you know, the thing that just comes in the block that you can use. And then I try to like once a year bring our knives to like Sur La Table or whatever, and usually around like Thanksgiving
is it an old wizened bearded man who's just like spits on your knife and just rubs it along his leathered knee?
I have to bring him, you know, his favorite rare tea or else he won't.
Oh man, good times. We're talking about swords. I don't know how we got onto this subject. A couple weeks ago we wanted to talk about swords and we ended up talking about Ghost of Tsushima instead, which is relevant. There are swords in Ghost of Tsushima.
Relevant swords, yeah. I think every once in a while we just pick a topic to challenge ourselves if we can make an idiotic podcast about a single topic, such as swords.
Yes, so we're going to talk about swords in video games today. Also a little bit more about Ghost of Tsushima, I imagine, because those are the swords that are most relevant to us right now. Yeah, not our kitchen knives. Although, again, I really need to bring them in. I need to get a good action. Here's the thing. I mean, this is a good segue into knives and swords, but a good knife, it's expensive. You want to get a good kitchen knife? I mean, you're looking at like $150.
Oh yeah, easily. And plus it's not only that, it's you have to treat it right too. You can't just like throw it in the sink and like crash it around with the other stuff, you know.
You must wet it in the blood of your enemies before you resheathe it every night.
And yeah, your sword is your life.
Yeah. Remember, Jin, do not put this in the dishwasher. I also wanted to briefly take a segue because I was looking at various sword games, and my favorite sword game name that I discovered, never played this, Thy Sword. What do you think? Thy Sword.
What's the theme of it? Is it a medieval thing? Is it like, what is this?
This is a retro game from 2017, available now on the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, fuck. I could be downloading this right now.
I assume you just, like, kill things with swords. So I don't know how you want to approach this subject. I thought we could talk about some specific games with swords. Maybe we should start off. How's Ghost of Tsushima doing right now? Are you feeling good? You're still playing, chugging along?
Still playing. I still feel like I'm a fair ways away from the end because I'm just in Act 2, and I have the sense that there's probably 3. But I learned one of the mysterious sword arts.
The dark arts.
Yeah, I've definitely, you know, I've upgraded the blades, and I have 3 out of the 4 stances, so I can like sword, you know, techniques or whatever. And I've been thinking about it a lot because where I'm at now in the game I feel kind of overpowered, and my sword techniques seem to be very much outclassing most of my enemies.
Right. You're too good with your sword.
Yeah. I have become one with the sword. And so then it made me think about this topic again, because what is the right way to approach it? Right. Cause really, if you get sliced up by a sword, it's pretty much alike, you know, that's it, you know. So how do you make a video game challenging when, like, what is the difference between a super cool katana and a super cool katana upgraded 6 times, you know, like how do you convey that message when you have a weapon like that,
you know? Yeah, how do you do more damage with your sword?
Yeah, I'm gonna like super strikes, you know, decapitate someone, like, how, you know, it's kind of a binary thing.
Yeah, that's a very good point. I really like the way that Tsushima does actually make it feel like there are different ways you're upgrading your weapon. I mean, really, when you think about it, there's very little skill points that you can invest in this game that have anything to do with raw stats. What, yeah. I think the only way you can do that is by upgrading your armor. And mm-hmm. even then, not all of your armor impacts the damage that you do.
Yes.
So really, yeah. any sort of customization is more... It's how you wield the blade, not the force you use behind it, you know?
A blade is but a tool.
Well, like, let's think about the minigame that you you and I both seem to love so much, I guess. The bamboo slicing.
I do like that. We didn't even talk about it live on the air, but like, I really like that minigame.
Yeah, so do I. I think it does a really good job of making you sort of act in a way that you might before you take this pivotal slice, right?
Yep.
You sort of... You map out. It's like a mental exercise, right?
It is.
You really try to get zen and go, okay, it's going to be triangle, square, triangle, 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 square, yeah. L1, square, right?
Yeah.
And it's not the sort of physical gymnastics that some other games implement in order to convey difficulty in like a quick time event.
Yes.
It's very
it's
much
not a
like
meter.
Yeah, you just kind of, you need to execute it. You can take as many tries as you want, but yeah. you need to get the button prompts right in order yep. to get that zen mind. And to me, that feels like a good way of creating that sense of sort of patience and calm that I assume you have to do when you're really taking this challenge. This is a real thing people do, right? They do actual yeah. contests where they try to chop through thick things of bamboo.
Yeah, I've seen some hilarious YouTube videos of amateur swordsmen and then professional ones.
This but, is where they're like slicing through a bottle of Sunny D or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, there is a certain and it's also like if you think about it too hard, you just kind of have to get the rhythm, right? If you think about it too hard, you probably will overthink it and press the button, you know, press the wrong button or whatever. So yeah. I think it's a clever thing. I think it has started making me think about other samurai games. Like I think both of us really liked Bushido Blade. I don't know how it holds sure. up, but like back in the day, Bushido Blade was this kind of revelation for me where it's like, oh, this is a totally different way of doing a fighting game where it's super high stakes. Your weapon is a sword, but it's more realistic in that if you get stabbed with a sword, that's game over, you know, like you're not going to come back from that. And so it was just a different way of approaching a game that I had never really considered before.
Yeah. I also think that Bushido Blade uses the 3D fighting genre of which, what, how many am I really familiar with? This and Soul Calibur probably are like the only ones that I've really played with any amount of sort of commitment. And I like, it makes sense to me. I like this 3D sword fighting idea, right? Because if you move to the side of someone when they're doing a downward strike, they're wide open. You know, you can really make that move. So it definitely feels more like, you know, like a sword duel.
Right. The other samurai thing that I was thinking about is Samurai Gun. Multiplayer minigame thing, which kind of took some inspiration from that, but then made it a 2D brawler style.
Yeah. I think that's... do you think that samurai swords lend themselves better to this kind of, I don't know, like complexity?
I think samurai media definitely does.
Yeah, that's true. Because the sword game that I always think about when I think about sword games is Chivalry. Medieval warfare, mm-hmm. the FPS genre, of course, first-person sworder, of which there are others, right? I think, Mordhau was one that came out in 2019, I want to say, 2018 maybe. These are games that fetishize not the samurai sword, but, you know, the broadsword, or the sort of bigger weapons, the larger iconic swords of Western Europe. But to me, that you never quite have that same finesse. The one difference would be something like a rapier, you know, where it's really, you know, in Soul Calibur, I forget which character used the rapier in Soul Calibur, but that was my sort of go-to in Soul Calibur as well. It's something that is much more quick. It has the finesse of a lighter blade, whereas, you know, a broadsword or something, you've got like a massive overhead thing, I guess. Maybe, mm-hmm. I don't know, I guess maybe you could like hit people with the side of your blade.
Well, I mean, you could, I mean, depending on how you play, like you could, or I guess how you wield it, you know, the pommel of your sword is also a weapon, you know, like
that's true.
You know, the end, the edges of the hilt or whatever.
I think that for me, what makes an interesting sword game, if you're going to be adding on layers to your swords and you're not just spamming square, is this the difference between speeds, which is actually something I don't think Ghost of Tsushima leans into enough, right? But I think what makes sense in something like Chivalry is that if you're, say, facing off against someone that has a spear and you have a great sword, your sword is much heavier, right? Yeah. And your windup is much longer. Dark Souls swords, weapons, the same thing applies, right? The downtime, once you commit to the act, the swing takes up so much of that effort, right? And you can do incredible damage when you're wielding a Zweihander, right? But if you don't, if you're not using a weapon that is light, then you will not necessarily suffer the consequences of that just slow, sort of tedious action to swing that weapon. Adding that degree of sort of rock, paper, scissors-ness to it, I think is super interesting and makes, especially PvP in the Dark Souls games, actually, and I guess a little bit in Chivalry, just way more interesting, because then it feels like it's actually, this is more of the, you know, who would win, Vikings versus Spartans kind of angle.
Ultimate Warrior.
It's like Ultimate Warrior angle of sword fighting games, but I think that adds a degree of interestingness to the type of weapon you're wielding, or specifically the type of sword.
Well, and it, I think those games are those games strike an interesting balance between, there are some parts that are just kind of ridiculous where, you know, you're rolling around to dodge or you're throwing fireballs or whatever.
Sure,
but
like Witcher or something.
Yeah, but you could, in something like Chivalry or Dark Souls or whatever, you could pretty easily get one-shotted. It just doesn't have the, it doesn't have the Bushido Blade style one-shot of like an understated sword battle, but mechanically it's the same thing. It's like, if you get hit by this thing, it's over. We're just not rendering it in a way that is the kind of classic, you know, elegant blade style, you know?
Yeah. Do you want it to be over? Like, do you like the sort of quick immediacy to it?
I mean, I guess it depends on what the context of the game is, but
like Nidhogg,
for whatever,
it's okay, but
I mean, Nidhogg is great, but it's because it goes fast, right? You're right back into the action.
Right.
Both in Tsushima and Last of Us, for whatever reason, my current pet peeve is having to restart a bunch of encounters. And so I just try to be as survivable as possible and not get, I guess I don't mind being one-shotted in a game like Dark Souls, because that is the game. But in a game, even in a game like Sekiro, I was super irritated by that game because it didn't feel like that was the point, or even that was fair, you know?
Yeah.
Which is, man, I can't believe how much Sekiro has just kind of left my brain. I'd be interested to actually go back to it someday. You know, maybe I was just in the wrong headspace for it.
They actually just dropped some DLC for it. They added boss rush mode, which lets you go revisit some bosses, as well as a few other quality of life improvements.
I mean, it's that game, maybe looking back on it will yield something different, but there was a lot of, I don't know. I guess that game just struck it didn't strike the right balance of, it did feel like there was a deadliness to the weapons, but I didn't feel like I had a fair shot for a lot of them. Compared to like Bloodborne or Dark Souls or whatever.
I think my issue with, specifically with sword games, if we're talking about one-shot kills or very lethal kills, I want an ability to be defensive, right? How do you play, how do you have fun playing defensively? I think Sekiro does it better than some others,
right?
In that the parrying timing is like a fundamental aspect of that game. It's a little bit in there with, I mean, it's in there with a lot of other titles, actually, I guess. So it's in there for Dark Souls for sure. Although that's more of, you use your sort of shield to parry. It's there in Ghost of Tsushima.
Yep.
But beyond, if you don't have that ability, or if they have not gone above and beyond in providing an interesting way for you to interact defensively using your swords, then it's not going to be a good time when you just get one shot or you get taken out, right?
How do you feel about the like if you switch genres, and we, because we also just played a pretty iconic sword game in Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, where yeah.
you have the combination of a traditional hack and slash style weapon, but you also have guns.
I mean, I want my gun blade, right? That's the dream. Final Fantasy VIII.
Final Fantasy VIII remastered.
That's good. Let's do it.
I feel like there was... it's so difficult a line to walk. And I feel like Final Fantasy VII actually did it pretty well, because I think they smartly put magic in the mix, where anyone could theoretically have a projectile. But it's such a fine line to walk to have a sword in modern-ish combat.
Yeah.
Because it just looks ridiculous. And also, just Final Fantasy period looks ridiculous. Like, that sword is like 6 feet tall, you know?
Scott, what if you can slice the bullet in real time, you know?
I mean, then you start to get into like a, you know, Metal Gear Solid Rising situation, you know, where you've like just Vanquished gone full anime. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, you've gone full bullet time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think going full bullet time is the way to go if you're going to have swords in there, right? You need to be zooming around the battlefield. The thing that's always ludicrous with the Cloud stuff, right? He raises his sword as a defensive shield, as though that helps. I don't know, maybe he's just fighting against stormtroopers. I mean, it is a big sword. I would wonder why you wouldn't use like a normal gun, you know?
Where he just has like, he's flipped the sword so it's you know, horizontal so he could block, and then just behind it he has a pistol where he's just shooting out.
I mean, I guess the idea, right, if you really want to do it justice, is guns are long range weapons, you know, and swords are close range weapons, so maybe there's a scenario where it makes sense for you to like throw down your pistol and just charge in with your fucking, you know, massive fucking broadsword or something.
Let me hit you with this. The chainsaw guns from Gears of War. Technically a sword?
Chainsaw, I don't think so.
They kind of have those sword fights with those I forget what they're called. The Lambent or something?
No, because those just slice itself. You know what I mean? You just need to put it up against it. That's more like a lightsaber or something.
Oh, okay, got it. Know?
Although, is a lightsaber a sword? I mean, it's
so
a saber.
I was going to ask that same. So here's the question, though. Has there ever been a satisfying lightsaber in any video game?
No, I mean, you cannot have a satisfying lightsaber by definition.
Just because you are declaring that impossible.
I mean, it's a fucking lightsaber. We're like, the moment you cut something, it's dead. Like, you've melted through it, you know? It can cut through solid steel.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense. You know what I will say, actually? The most recent Star Wars game, that one actually does it okay, because you do fight a lot of enemies that have like vibro weapons or electrical weapons that make it sort of, they naturally ricochet off the lightsaber. So it makes sense that you would dodge that. I think what we need actually is, you know, a sort of chivalry style lightsaber game where it's just one hit kills, you know?
Right.
I mean, I guess you have that in a way, right? There are VR sword games, like Beat Saber. It's kind of like a lightsaber game. Or Blade and Sorcery, that's another VR game, right?
I've never played those VR games, but the issue, I thought, you know, when like the rest of the world, when I saw...
You're bad at swords.
Well, I mean, I guess I've shirked my training, I guess. I left the mountain before I was ready. When I first saw the reveal of the Nintendo Wii, I was like, oh my God, sweet. There's going to be so many, like, can you imagine playing Zelda with a real sword, or like Star Wars with a sword? But then I realized that I think motion controlling swords is actually the opposite of satisfying, because there's no resistance. You know, even if you hit something, your motion is not congruous with the action on screen.
Yeah.
And so unless you have a sword like a lightsaber that can go through anything, it's always going to be incongruous when you're playing.
Okay, so what we need to do is invent a handheld VR system that is somehow uses a resistance band that's tethered to your back that will pull on it depending on where you hit, so it feels like you're hitting something.
And it'll, you know, clang off of the wall or something like that.
I mean, here's the thing. Who among us on Christmas morning did not grab the cardboard tube of a wrapping paper roll and use it as a sword, you know? When you were using those movements, you didn't meet resistance. I mean, I guess you did when it whacks into your sister's head.
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say, when you're fighting your sibling to the death for your Nintendo 64 or whatever, like that, there's a definite purpose.
Yeah, I think it is the uncanny valley of swords is the problem, right? Yeah. It's too close to actual swords to then not give you that feedback. It becomes unsatisfying. And I will also say, I think when you see yourself in Beat Saber or in a VR game, and you are moving around, and it looks like if you have ever seen like a samurai film where someone who is like a coward is holding a sword and they're shaking, you know, and it's like wobbling left and right. That's what it looks like in VR when you're holding a sword, and it feels like shit. You just feel like you're a total idiot. Like, I'm clearly not a sword fighter. You know what I mean? And that just reminds you how inadequate you are and how you're just, it feels too much like you're a child holding a cardboard sword, but it's like you're LARPing. Okay. And only a few of us really have the pride or the sort of
warrior's instinct.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say like the ego to withstand the pressure that is LARPing, right? Yeah. That is just it's a step too far for my liking, you know, the whole VR sword thing.
Man, now I'm just after this quest of find the good video game lightsaber.
I mean, the other thing, right, is there are a variety of types of lightsaber. How is that conveyed, you know? Like, does that feel
the Darth Maul style or the
does it feel tactically different? Like, you just change colors and that's kind of it, you know what I mean? But can we get a Darth Maul one like against your main one? I don't know.
Well, then you just start looking like the Star Wars kid.
Yeah, I mean, none of it is good. I don't think any of that stuff works out.
Let me hit you with a couple famous video game swords.
Okay.
I forget the name of the sword, but it's the in Halo, the energy swords.
Oh yes, the energy blades. Those are dope. Those are very dope.
And those were, I feel like those are an interesting implementation because they pretty much are a one or two hit kill.
I mean, that's a lightsaber right there.
It is, but you have to close the distance because they live in a world of guns.
But so the great thing about that though is its main ability, when you're close enough distance, is to close the distance. Remember? Yeah. You charge at them and you just do that upward cut. And you go around. I mean, it's so fascinating because in multiplayer, someone would get the sword and you'd be like, oh shit, you know, back up. But if you did make that distance, they're coming at you, it's terrifying. But when they drop right before they come at you, that's very, very satisfying.
Right. If they miscalculate.
Or there are times when, depending on the map, you do the charge, it's not long enough, and you just fall to your death.
Right.
You know?
How about, okay, I mean, this is going to devolve into
and now we're just on sword rating.
Ranking of swords.
Okay, so far, best sword, Halo. All right, let's continue.
How do you feel about swords that are more of a plot point than a mechanical factor, for example?
Like King Arthur's sword. What's it doing in The Rock? You know what I mean?
What's it doing in The Rock? Is it really that much better? That thing can't possibly be sharp still.
I mean, once that lady just fucking hurls her garbage sword at you from the lake, like, what do you do with it, you know?
Because you got...
Here, take this!
You got a bunch of master swords, and every Zelda game has a master sword. And
that's true, yeah.
And they're fine. They're good swords, but it's not like it's a...
I mean, it's fine. It's a good sword.
It's a fine... It's a workmanlike sword.
It is a commendable sword. I mean, yes, it slices and dices.
But it's not... I mean, it's no Halo energy sword.
It's not... Yeah, it's no Hattori Hanzo steel.
The Masamune from Chrono Trigger.
Yep.
That was mainly a plot point, right? I mean, that wasn't, you know... I mean, there were certain abilities for that sword. You know, you could, that sword I think it could dispel certain spells or whatever if enemies had them on it, if I'm recalling correctly.
I mean, so here's the great thing about plot swords, right?
Plot sword.
Oh my God. TV trope, am I right? Plot sword. The great thing about plot swords is really ultimately they're just callbacks to Lord of the Rings, right? They're callbacks to these Sting, right? Named swords, right? That carry a legend about them. And it is deeply satisfying to find one or know one. But the issue is that the coolness of the sword is directly proportional to the coolness of the sword's history and its ability, right?
Yeah.
Sting is great not because, oh, that's a cool-looking elven sword. And it's not even just great because, hey, that detects orcs, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's cool because it has a history of being passed down in sort of dire times of need, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a dope-ass sword. The Master Sword needs to carry with it that same weight, or any of these swords that are plot swords, you know?
Right.
When I play D&D, or I'm hosting a D&D game, if someone finds, like, a magical sword or magical weapon, you bet your ass, like, that's not just, oh, a plus one sword of giant slaying. Like, this is the the Bane of Zarthun, the legendary dwarven hunter who fucking slew 800 giants over the course of a decade, nearly bringing them to, you know, eradication. That's an awesome sword. That's what I want, you know?
Okay. How about the Keyblade from Kingdom Hearts?
God, that's a fucking key. That's not a sword. Get out of here. It's just a big ass key. Is it sharp?
I mean, is your house key sharp?
I mean, sometimes at night if I'm scared and I'll hold it really close so I can stab someone with it.
I mean, imagine if it was then 5 feet long.
All right. Well, I mean, that's low on my list. I'm not a big Kingdom Hearts fan, so.
Okay, let me see if I had any more swords. Did we talk about Raiden yet for Metal Gear Solid Rising?
We didn't. But he's Raiden is cool. I don't know if his sword's that cool. Okay. You know what sword I was going to actually call out is, oh God, I don't know her name. Is it Cassandra from Soul Calibur? The sword that's a whip.
Oh, I think that's Ivy, right?
Yeah. How do you feel about sword whips?
Well, it gives me swords. It awakened some weird feelings in me when I was a teenager.
Naturally.
I mean, you start to get into technicalities because is that still a blade or is that a like capital B blade, like a branded Soul Calibur weapon that we all call?
I mean, if a fucking keyblade is a sword, you know what I mean? Like then it stops being a sword when it becomes a whip.
If we're disqualifying it, then we have to disqualify one of my favorite weapons in the Souls series, the cane whip.
The cane whip? Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Because you can kind of use that like a sword because like you it's a stabbing weapon until you turn it into the whip.
That's true. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, well, I mean, that's partially a cane also, so it's only one-third it's sword at best.
What else? What other legendary swords can we rank here?
What about the stick? The fabled stick from the Zelda games, like Breath of the Wild.
Oh, the just like a, you mean like a branch?
Just
like
a branch.
Deku branch,
yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly. Just a Deku branch. Like even that to me is exciting and fun because that is the sort of childlike, you pick up a branch. It is now a sword. I mean, that's the great thing about swords. It's hard not to fantasize about swords. And why I actually think the pressure when you're making a sword video game is weirdly high, you know?
Yeah.
There's
a
small niche of people. They mostly play Tarkov and other Milsim games that are like really antsy whenever there's a discrepancy with a weapon of like, oh, you know, the Sig Sauer P229 doesn't technically use a barrel of that size, right? Like no one cares. But if you're talking about like a sword, there's only a few characteristics, you know, long, sharp. That's about it. You know, has to have a handle, I guess. Although it could be attached to your arm, depending on who you're talking to. So
yeah, that's true.
In scenarios like that, like, you know, you cannot hide behind anything. Like it needs to be good. Your sword game needs to be good.
There's a certain, there's like a tactile nature to it where it's like, well, you know, I can't just fake the physicality of it like a gun or something like that. You know, this has to be swung, this has to be held, this has to make contact with a player character or a non-player character.
Yep. I think the two best systems that I like the most, one is the Witcher Dark Souls style, right? Where every sword, every weapon has its own attacks and moves, and speeds, and all of that will matter in combat, right? So very much focused on, like, you know, high frame rate. You got to make sure that you are making the swing so that it feels, one, it feels impactful when you hit, but two, that the timing is right for that itself to be part of the combat, part of that strategy in your head, right? To feel like, oh, I'm on the ball because I hit twice with my sword, dodged away, and then did one more sort of stab as I rolled into combat, right?
Yeah.
That feels good. The other side, which I actually do like quite a bit, is the stances, what Ghost of Tsushima does, right? Where it feels like you are picking which wrench to use for the particular challenge, you know? It's your Swiss Army knife sword. You have one katana, but each of those stances can feel like a different, it adds a different moveset, and so it can feel like a different weapon, right?
Yeah.
And that, to me, is another great way of doing swords, because it feels as though you are being strategic with it, there's depth to it, and it feels like I can live that fantasy of being a sword fighter, right? How do you live the fantasy of being a Jedi or being a samurai or being a sword fighting warrior, right? Like, you need to be able to pull things off and feel as though you're doing it with your own agency. And I think especially for games where swords are just sort of secondary weapons, it's just, those are just the slam square when you're in close proximity to someone, and that's it. Totally uninteresting. You actually have to put in quite a bit of time and effort and thoughtfulness into your sword design, I think, if you actually want to make a good one.
It makes me appreciate a game like Tsushima that your sword persists throughout the game. It's just your skill with it that is different. Yes. You know, you're unlocking different stances or what have you. Or you're just adorning it with different sheaths and you know, patterns and such.
Big feathery just, tiger sheath, dude. That's
God, when I saw that thing. It's like, man, I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to be stealthy here. Yeah.
Like, well, it's to psych them out. If they look in the tall grass and they just see like tiger. They're like, oh my God, I'm going to pretend I didn't see that.
Whereas if you were to just... if it was just a, you know, an old style JRPG where you're getting a million different swords and just kind of selling them off as they go, you're never really invested in any one of them as an object of some importance. It's just a means to an end, you know.
How important is parrying to you in a sword game?
I do like parrying, but I feel like it can make the game too defensive in a way where I'm just waiting for someone else to attack. And if the computer played like I did, we would just be staring at each other for 5 minutes straight.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
It's a hard balance. Actually. I was thinking about that while playing Tsushima recently, because I just got a charm that widened the potential window of a perfect parry.
Ooh, very nice.
Which is cool, but then I was like, man, maybe this is making the game too... Because I also unlocked a thing where if I perfect parry, there's a 20% chance that it will terrify enemies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
In which case they just fall to the ground and you can stab them free of charge. So, like, right. I was like, man, is this making the game too easy? You know,
because it could become the Assassin's Creed way, right?
Right.
Or the old Assassin's Creed games where you just sat there and spammed parry.
Yeah, you waited till someone attacked, you parried, you did the thing. So, like, I think it's...
You know what I like, actually, that I think is a good solution that Ghost of Tsushima does not do, but is chip damage. Like, something you'd see in Dark Souls or I've been playing Sultan Sanctuary as well, right?
Yep.
If you block with a sword, you're still going to take damage. And so there's a limit to how much chip damage you're willing to take before you actually have to execute on the successful parry.
Right. It would be interesting to have a parry that still wasn't free. Like, the parry... took some chip damage, but it then opened it up to you are trading the chip damage for the potential to end the battle right then and there, which I think feels like a more balanced risk reward way of versus just getting a free hit, you know.
Yeah, I do like the Dark Souls method too, though, where it's like, oh, you can parry, but if you fuck up your parry timing, you're just pretty much dead.
Yeah, and you're just standing there doing a stupid animation where it's like, uh-oh.
But man, because that way when you actually pull it off, you feel like a fucking god, you know?
Yeah, yes. I think what they should do, I thought of a good lightsaber game. The lightsaber game is actually a puzzle game in which you have to assemble the pieces of your lightsaber.
you have to make it.
You have to make your lightsaber, and then the game ends by you turning on the lightsaber, and then that's it. The game is done after that. No fighting with it. You're just there to assemble a lightsaber in a kind of mystery box style way, hopefully in 3D.
I think you should have to carve funny faces into blast doors, you know? Just to, like, what you're really trying to do is terrify the occupants inside, right? Did you ever, how come they never did that? How come they didn't ever, like, carve, look, if Zorro can slash his Z into someone's chest, Jedi should be able to carve a huge J into the blast doors.
Okay, who wrote Qui-Gon stinks in this door?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
We're never going to get this out, you realize.
Yeah, it was the younglings, and that's why Anakin flips the shit.
I mean, this sort of thing makes me...
Sword of thing?
This sword of thing makes me press on with Tsushima, because I want to see... I do have this compulsion to continue to fill out the tree so I can see... the skill that is in this blade versus yes. just, oh, I know I'm going to get a, like, if this was just a loot game where I was like, oh, I can always get a better sword. I can always get a better one. It's like, okay, whatever. But I know the thing isn't going to change. It's just how the wielding is going to change, which yes. is continuing to drive me forward on this.
The tools in your toolbox.
Right.
I mean, and what I said last time we talked about Ghosts, I'll say again here, but I think that the sword duels are the coolest thing in this yes. game. The actual yes. boss fights. I wish there were more of those, and I would recommend actually taking on that challenge, because I think from just a sword yep. design perspective, those duels are actually very cool.
It does kind of... It is a kind of a weird combination of a Dark Souls and a Bushido blade, where it's not one hit kill, but it is dire if you do get hit.
Yep.
But you're also really having to look at the patterns and think about your moves versus just running in.
Yeah. And I like that using resolve in other ways means that you don't then have that resolve to heal also.
Yeah.
You know, which yeah. is, you know, it adds to this risk reward of your various abilities that you have while you're wielding your sword.
Before we go, would you ever go to a novelty sword or knife show and get a...
when I was
you,
a kid...
If, yes. if I told you could get one of your favorite video game swords, what would you mount above your computer?
Oh my God, that's a great question. You know, and I've seen those YouTube videos, right? What is it? I forget the YouTube channel, but there's a guy who makes replica swords that actually slice...
He's a fucking smithy.
Yeah, he. I mean, they. You can pay him buku bucks, I'm sure, to make you yeah. replica swords. He has done a bunch of swords, including, you know, he's done a keyblade. He's done. I shouldn't say he. It's like the whole smithy house.
Have they done the Blades of Chaos from God of War?
I think that they actually have.
Oh my god!
I know they did Cloud swords. So they've done a bunch of different replica swords.
Mm.
Man, honestly, it's got to be. It might have to be the Halo sword, maybe. I mean, the Master Sword is like the go-to, right?
Master Sword is, I mean, definitely the go-to, but certainly for me anyway, it's the emotional pick for sure.
I mean, maybe I would go
about
with
that. How about that Gunblade from Final Fantasy VIII, though? I mean, that's pretty cool. It has a little trigger on it.
But then you have a gun in the home, you know, and what I kind of message are true, you yeah. sharing right. to your kids?
That's not a very honorable samurai way of living.
And, you know, most people who keep guns in the home are more likely to be victims of those guns. So.
Right, exactly. You don't want to be a victim of your own Gunblade.
No, I don't. I would have to go with a plot sword, you know? I'd yeah. have to go, like, Sting yeah. or something, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I am definitely one of the types of people where I might be like 65 years old and I won the lottery. I would be one of those idiots that buys a fucking replica sword and hangs it in their room.
For sure. Well, especially if it's one of the Dark Souls swords where it's like, what was that massive one that was in one of the more recent Dark Souls? It had a funny name.
Just like a fuck all huge, like cloud sized yeah. weapon.
Maybe, or just maybe straight up, I have a Buster sword. It's 8 feet tall, two and a half feet wide. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that idea. I mean, maybe a Bloodborne weapon, you know, would be cool.
I mean, there's some fucking huge swords in that game. Like, I mean, you need a whole wall to put.
Here's
that
what
up.
I need. Look, I have lightsaber chopsticks. I need a sword that's actually a functioning kitchen knife. You know what I mean? If I'm going to pay $150 for a sword, it better fucking look like the Master Sword.
You need to mount the Assassin's Creed daggers on your wrists and then start slicing onions.
Yeah, I want a steak knife. I want a steak knife that looks like the Buster Sword.
And then after you're finished chopping up your vegetables, you go da 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 da.
Well, naturally, it actually has a button on the sword, and it'll just make the sound itself.
Spin it around, slap it to your back.
That Square Enix, call me. Let me join your product marketing team or whatever. Like, come on. A toothbrush that makes that sound after 2 minutes of brushing?
Oh, my God. Quip. That's a free one for you, Quip.
Yeah, exactly. There's your licensing deal.
All right, we will leave it there before we hurt ourselves. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is our website. If you want to slice that like button, you can do it by finding us on Stitcher, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever fine podcasts are sold.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao. Every time we disagree, there's a place to go to.